Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can also write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. You can even email me your story. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to share your stories with us. Of course, we're on social media at Real Ghost Stories Online, on Facebook, and of course, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. We are in all of those locations. Tony Bruschi joining you today. Jenny inadvertently has this show off. She originally was on this episode. And then for the first time in Real Ghost Stories Online history, we had a computer glitch. And I guess, you know, 700 some episodes in to only have one is a pretty good thing. We recorded the episode. As of the point of me recording this today, we recorded it yesterday, that's the way we normally do it, and I stopped the recording at the end of the episode and looked back at the file, and it recorded about 7 minutes in, and then it was all digital glitching and interference. So read into it what you will. Maybe there is something that didn't want their story out. I don't know. We're still going to get them out. Unfortunately, I was kind of disappointed, too, because there was some good banter in that episode, and all lost to the ether of technology that can go wrong very quickly. You know, in the olden days, back in my day, although this would really be before my day, when you had reel-to-reel or something like that you're recording on, that... you could catch it if the machine, you know, was not working right. I mean, I guess you could technically get a tape that was kind of warped or bad or something, but at least there'd be some semblance of the audio that you recorded, whereas in this case, it's just gone. And I was looking at it, like, trying to figure out a way to recover it, but I don't know what happened. But anyway, save your work, folks, when you record things. We normally do. I do it a lot. I click save, you know, stop the episode for a second, save just in case, and I'm going to be being much more vigilant at that in the future. But again, 700 some episodes, only once having that happen. Here we go. So here I am again doing the show, going to do all the calls that I've used or we had used in that episode and, banter, but it'll just be me today to get you through that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Ashley from Indiana. The last story that I sent in to you guys was about my brother-in-law who had passed away. I had a dream about him that I guess we were like sitting on a couch and I was younger and my sister was there and he had basically been kind of goofing around and I looked at my sister and she had just very sweetly smiled at me and shook her head, yes. And at that time, I knew that he was dead. And I started crying and I heard his voice in my head and he said, I know why you're crying and I don't want you to. And I know that story was really long and I'm sorry, but I just had the dream the night before and it was really kind of weighing on me. But anyway, I spoke to my sister last week and we were talking about my brother-in-law and we were just kind of going back and forth and I was talking about the dream I had had and she was talking about some similar things and she said something along the lines of, oh yeah, I saw him. And I kind of paused and I said, what? And she said, oh, that's right, I didn't tell you. And I said, well, tell me. And she, you know, told me that she was in her kitchen doing dishes and she was alone in the house. Her husband was at work, her kids were gone, it was just her. And she saw him walk through the living room into her son's room. And just, I mean, not like a haze of him, not like, you know, just a part of him. It was fully, I guess, a full-bodied apparition. It was him, fully, completely there, solid. And I said, "Did you see his face?" And she said, "Yeah, it was him." And she said he looked like he did when he had passed away, and because he was really thin, and he was quite big for a long time, and he lost a lot of weight before he passed away, and so he was thin when she saw him. And you know, she had said that he walked into my son's room, and this is what she said, she said he looked like he was on a mission. And what I'm assuming from what she meant by that was, you know, when you're walking somewhere and you have a purpose, you know, you're not really just kind of dilly-dally, and you're just walking there with purpose. And she said, this is how he walked. It's what he looked like. And I couldn't help it. I got a little pang of fear in my belly, because I just tried to imagine what that would be like if I saw him. I honestly didn't know what I would do. And, you know, or any full-bodied apparition. And I asked her, I said, "Were you scared?" And she said, "No." She said, "Well, it startled me at first, because, you know, she was alone. You don't expect to see someone else when you're alone in your house." And I said, "Did you go in there? Did you go in his room?" And she said, "No." She said, "I didn't go in there." She said, "I just kept doing what I was doing, just kept doing the dishes." And I thought, wow, she's more calm than I would have been. And she said that she believes that he is around her son all the time, his presence. She said she's felt his presence more than once, but that's the only time that she's actually seen him. My nephew is still very angry and confused about, you know, everything, and he's a young teenager, so he's having a lot of issues and dealing with his death. So I believe that he's hanging around my nephew to comfort him and to, you know, maybe try to make up for, you know, maybe some of the bad things that he did when he was alive. I don't know. And I couldn't believe it that she saw him, and I fully 100% believe her that this is true. She wouldn't make something up like this, especially about him. It's just too sensitive of a subject still. I mean, it's almost been a year, but still. Yeah, so I thought I would call in and tell you guys that story. It's not my story, it's her story. So yeah, that's basically it, what happened. I hope that his presence continues to stay positive and around my nephew and my sister. I hope that someday he can move on and be in peace. I still think about him quite a bit, and I miss him a lot. So I will get off here. I won't eat up any more of you guys' time. I thought it would be a nice story to share, kind of to connect with the last story that I'd sent in. So yeah, I love the show. Love you guys, and take care.
Thank you for the call, Ashley. It's one of those things where you look at that and you're also wondering, is he just there to check up on on the little one? Is he just there to keep an eye, or is he also giving a message at the same time to maybe mom of, I'm going and checking. Please, you the living should also be going and checking more frequently. Is that something that he's trying to deliver some sort of a message on without being able to verbally do that? That's just kind of a thought on that specific incident. Thank you for sharing that story and both of your stories with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Greetings, Jenny, Tony, and the audience. Matthew here in Montreal, back in the park, minus the crickets. But this time is daytime, early Sunday morning. Lots of people, chirping birds, sunshine, beautiful weather. I love it. So I want to tell you about other stories, but I want to start with questions that relate to them. To the sensitive ones out there, are you sensitive to just the spiritual, or are you, the invisible, the paranormal, whatever? Are you also sensitive to people's feelings? Because when I was at my most sensitive, I felt both on a regular basis, all the time, I should say. And then I lost it. So that's where my first story is starting, when I lost the sensitivity. So it was 1999 when I moved to Montreal, maybe 2000, I'm not sure. And I had only lived in small towns before, so I thought I was just being overwhelmed with, the change, with the number of people and stuff like that. I felt thrilled, I felt happy, except for at home with my roommates. They were negative people. They wanted to get rid of me because I was not a party person. They just wanted to party all the time, so I was a stick in the mud for them, I guess. Anyways, despite that, I was having a great time at school, and that's my state of mind. I was happy for the first time. You know, I was feeling at home at school because I was surrounded by crazy artists like me. Some of them were crazier than I was, so it was great, you know? And then I got to, once school started is when the bad stuff happened. As soon as I got into the public transportation system, I would get moments, which lasted an hour or an hour and a half, depending on the route that I took to get to school or to get to work. Eventually I got some work as well. And it just, panic, depression, suicidal thoughts, physical pain, all of it at the same time coming from everybody around me. At first I just thought I was losing my mind. I thought I was the first on both sides of my family to have the honor to lose his mind. Then I found out later somebody else did, but that's a different story. But, and then eventually, as much as it was happening, I was able to, get to some conclusions, and I thought, okay, it only happens on the bus and on the subway, and it stops immediately when I'm gone after that, and I'm back to my default setting, to the previous feeling I was feeling, whether it was happy or sad or whatever. So I was like, okay, that's what's happening, where it's happening. I don't know why it's happening, but it's there. People are miserable when they're going to work. People are miserable when they're going to school. Okay, I can understand that. So how do I block it? And I tried different things. I tried shielding myself, visualizing a golden shield of protection or whatever. I read up on it. I couldn't find anything that worked. Not that I was super disciplined at the time, about these things, but I did try. And nothing worked. And I think my belief system was broken enough that it wasn't working for that reason. Anyways, I was freaking out. I was losing sight of my dreams. I was gonna give up on them. But there was always a bit of hope. I told myself, almost every day, one more day. Please, it's your dream, come on. And eventually, after feeling that for days, every day for weeks, and it was like 2 weeks on the first month of the school starting. And then one morning, I felt chipper than usual. After feeling exhausted emotionally and physically, after my emotions being yanked all the time like that, and physical pain happening out of nowhere, and then nothing there anymore. That morning, I was feeling great, and I did not know why until I was halfway through my commute, and I realized, wait a minute, I'm not panicking. I'm not depressed. I'm not in pain. I'm uncomfortable. That's awesome. It's my own discomfort. I'm dealing with my own discomfort. I don't have to deal with anybody else's. That's awesome. I was so grateful. So it took me weeks and months to figure out that I was missing something. My sensitivity to other people was much reduced. The paranormal stuff was not happening as much anymore or at all at first. So I was worried. Did I lose it all? And that whole thing about people, I did not know I had it before I lost it. It was just something I was living with. And then I missed it because it was gone. So I can't explain it more than that. It's just vague. But it's like I'm missing input. The more input I have, the more I can interpret and live a situation. You know, the better I can react. So if you're removing a sense from the senses, you know, the physical ones, you definitely notice a difference. So that's what happened to me with the sensitivity. So yeah, that changed my life. I want it back. I got some of it back over the years. It's been 20, 21 years now. And what am I saying, 20, 21 years? Where does that number come from? Can't have been. 17 or 18 years, sorry. Anyways, I moved into my current apartment after a slew of bad ones. Bad roommates, bad landlords, bad living conditions, an accumulation of misery, like I said before. I come from that. You know, my family was not rich, not necessarily super poor either, but we struggled. So I know the feeling of, you know, not making ends meet or, preventing it from happening. So all these episodes of living in horrible places, I was really praying for something. To whomever was listening in the positive sense, please let me have this. Let me have a break. Let me have an asylum, safe asylum, a sanctuary. Please. And I visited that one place. And it was peaceful. It was quiet on all the levels, except the noise from the street. I didn't mind that. I thought I would get used to it. And I did. So I sleep with earplugs. But that's the only compromise I needed to do. So quietly, in the paranormal sense, nothing negative can come in. Nothing negative has happened in the paranormal sense. I had a few physical negative things in there, but that's just what goes with being alive, thankfully. So, you know, thankfully you have those things, it's a sign you're still alive. So, yeah, I'm in a park, so sorry for the background noises. I'm not going to yell at them because they sound happy. So, I want to be happy. I want people to be happy. Anyways, I got the break I wanted for 15 years, about approximately. I've been there. I don't want to move. I'm happy there in the sense of being, you know, peaceful and quiet and not having much happen. I want the positive stuff to happen, and a few episodes happened. So let me finish with that. I was falling asleep one night, and I started hearing someone breathing next to me as if they were sleeping next to me in my right ear. I took off my earplugs after I finished panicking, because I admit I was freaking out, for a few seconds. Until I realized I was not feeling the panic feeling. I wasn't feeling the warning signs that I usually get from a threat like that. If it was a threat, I would have felt it. So I calmed myself down and I spoke up. I said, if you're a threat, I'm going to get rid of you, no matter what. If you're not a threat, please stop. And they did, they stopped for that night. A few days, I mean, I should say days, because I sleep nights. I mean, I work nights, I sleep days. Most, you know, half of the day. So anyways. A few days later, I'm falling asleep again, and I hear the breathing again. And this time, I'm not panicking. It's just happening. It's the same thing as before. So, no negative feelings on it. So, I just let it do its thing, and I lull myself to sleep with it. And I was able to notice it was a lady, and she was asleep, and she was human. There was no pet sounds. It was not a cat, a dog, or anything else that I've had before that I know the sound of. It was a lady. So that was quite reassuring. No physical contact, no body warmth, nothing like that. It was just a sound. I took off my earplugs to make sure the sound was the same, and it was. So I'm thinking it's not coming from or being interpreted by my eardrums. It's something else in my mind that says, oh, it's the right channel. Let's just reproduce it as the right channel. Never heard it from my left side, no matter where I was aiming my head at. Always the right channel, no matter what. So that was strange. I got used to it and I got quite comfortable with it actually. It helped me to sleep several times a week for months, maybe 3-4 months. And then it was gone. She was gone. And I missed her because it was a nice presence. It was soothing to have someone next to me again after being single for years. So that was sad, but not negative in the sense of that. I have an idea about that. You let me know what you think about it. The entity or the sound. I don't think it was residual because it was not a regular pattern in the sense that it was not happening every Monday or, you know, every season. It never came back, actually. So I'm thinking it was a being that used to be human, that was either dead or transferred to another state of existence and needed to recharge before moving forward, moving somewhere else. Maybe they felt weak enough that they would be frightened of the light. or whatever. I just like speculating, but it seems to make sense to me. It just sounds like true. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's something completely explainable about it, but it was not sound-based. It was mind-based, or, you know, I was feeling it with my mind, except instead of my eardrums. So there you go. Another episode, a few years later, maybe 2 years, I was falling asleep again, and I heard several voices stacked on top of each other, like several radios at different stations opened. And you're trying to focus, you're trying to zone in on one or shut some down, you can't do it. It's just there, and you're freaking out, because you don't know what that is. But I wasn't really freaking out, I was just concerned, to be honest. And I was like, whoa. Then I remembered, hey, it's your mind. You can do stuff in your mind with your mind. So I remembered, when you listen to music, you can isolate an instrument to try to understand it better or know what it is or appreciate it better. So do the same thing with your thoughts. It works really well. So that's what I did. I focused on the voices and I noticed that all of them were adult, male or female. All of them were thinking in English. And I say thinking because I felt they were thoughts. And all of them were human. Because I had telepathy before, just a few episodes, 4 or 5 times in my life. I'm turning 40 this year. I know I said 38 last year, but I was confused. It takes me a few years to get used to the new numbers. Anyways, I only had like 4 or 5 times when I read people's minds without trying, without wanting to. It just happened. It was embarrassing. So I know the feeling. So it's like, minus the embarrassment. So I was like, okay, that's it. I'm hearing people's thoughts as they're asleep. Because these are maintenance thoughts. None of them are anywhere near sentimentally charged. They don't have emotions attached to them much. It's like, oh, I gotta get some dog food. Or I gotta buy some tampons before the trip. I don't have a dog. I don't wear tampons. Why would I think of that? It's not from me. It must be from outside. Plus, again, it was not from my ears. It was in my mind. I heard it clear, loud and clear, precisely. But if I plugged my ears, the sound would not change. It would not stop. If I spoke about it, you know, if I spoke on top of it, it was still there. So it was not something that, you know, was physically detectable, as far as I knew. So anyways, that lasted for a while, again, several times a year, a week, for several months, and then it stopped. This time, I was not sad to let it go, because to see it go, because it was annoying. It had become annoying, because you have to make an effort to fall asleep. I'd rather just put my head on a pillow and be done with it. So I was really grateful when it was gone. It was never like negative, but it was not positive either. So that was like the exception, or the slight, the almost exception to my sanctuary kind of thing. So in the meantime, you know, between the episodes, I would sometimes feel a threat from outside, like a warning sign that says, don't go out yet. Especially if I was thinking of going out, like taking the garbage out, or, you know, doing something outside, going shopping at the 24-hour market. Something would tell me, don't go out yet. Wait, not yet. Now, it's gone. So I'm not afraid of night. I love night. I live at night. It's my most inspiring and productive time of the day. But I am aware that there are threats at night that are not in the daytime. Or at least they're not as powerful in the daytime, so maybe they don't even bother to come out. So I'm not stupid, and I'm not suicidal. So if I get the warning, I usually listen to it, and I stay in for a few more minutes, or hours if I have to. It's usually minutes. So anyways, last episode that happened in the apartment was 2 years ago. So maybe I'm due for another one now. Seems to be the pattern. 2-3 years between. Anyways, hopefully the next one will be positive. Touching wood, literally, right now. Anyways, I was watching TV or a movie on my computer before a work shift, because I work at home, and I heard some tock-tock sound coming from my right. So I turned to the hallway, and I noticed a shelf who's standing on its own. It had been leaning against the wall with the other shelves. Those have been there for years. They don't move by themselves. They cannot. And even if you brush against them, and you normally wouldn't, but if you did, they would barely move. They're quite heavy. They're solid wood. So the first one in the front is about 1 foot wide by about 4 feet long, 5 feet long, I don't know, something like that. It's made of pine and it's painted blue. Not bright blue, more like toned down blue with some black in it. It's very old fashioned. And that thing is standing on its own now and rocking back and forth, left and right, corner to corner. Just like that. It's not changing face, just keeping that face down on the ground, the narrow face of it. and just doing its thing. Talk, 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 talk. I'm flabbergasted. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm grateful. Finally, it's happening. I see an object move on its own outside of a puppet show. Is that, as some of you know, I'm a puppet maker and puppeteer, so I'm used to seeing the illusion of life on objects, but there's always someone behind it, as you know. But this time, if there is a puppeteer, he or she is invisible, because if they were standing there holding the board, I could not see the board, considering how the things are set up over there. There's no space for a person to stand next to the board. They have to stand in front of it and hide it from me. So there's something invisible moving that board. Pretty awesome. So when I catch my breath and I'm able to speak again, I say, "Hi, if there's a message, I'm listening." And as soon as I said that, it slowed down. Dog, 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 dog. Leaned against the other planks again, and it was done. So either it was really disappointed in whatever reaction it wanted from me, or it ran out of juice. I don't know what it was, but it was super cool. I never saw that before or since, but I hope it happens again if it's positive. Knocking wood again, because I don't want the negative stuff. I want to appreciate it from a distance. I don't wish it on anybody. So, of course, not on me either. So thank you for listening. Hopefully you have some pointers on some of those episodes. And I'm trying to gather my courage to go to the last scary episode so that I can record it there. Wish me luck. Thank you. Have an inspiring day.
Thank you for sharing that that series of encounters. Greatly appreciate you taking the time to record that. And remember, one of the things Jenny mentioned when we attempted to record this episode yesterday was, I wonder if he finds more peace recording these shows, or if there's a reason he goes and records his calls outdoors in a happy public place versus just being inside alone and recording it, if there's a little more solace there. Obviously, someone who has a lot of things going on around him, it's obviously, I take him as being a very he's kind of got the double thing going on. Sometimes I say, you know, if people are haunted, and it's not that they're uber sensitive, it just seems that things are following them around. And then there's folks who I say are just uber sensitive, and they can pick up on so many different things, like he talks about in that story, where he could hear other people's thoughts. You know, I need peanut butter, I need tampons, I need whatever. I think he has both going on. I think he's uber sensitive, very empathic, and haunted at the same time. And that, I think, obviously can lead to quite the life and quite the stories. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. We love hearing from you. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next caller, hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Tara calling back. I called a few months ago about my experiences in high school, where I was at my best friend's house and heard my name being called, and had someone sit in bed with me. And then later on, the story also about my friend who had a dream that there were men in the kitchen, and I told her that it wasn't a dream and that it had really happened. Instead of telling you another story about that house, I want to tell you a story, the first ghost experience that I had that I can remember. I was probably around the age of five, 4 or 5, and I was at my grandparents' house with my cousin, who was about a year older than me. And my grandmother had told us to go into her bedroom and get some RC Cola that she kept behind her bedroom door. So we went into her bedroom, went back behind her bedroom door, grabbed the cola, and we were starting to head back out of the room when in front of us we saw what looked like a man walking towards us, coming out of the bathroom. He was on his knees. And I know she saw him because we both just kind of stood there and watched. It felt like forever that we were staring at him, which I know it couldn't have been. It was just maybe a minute or so. but he was on his knees, kind of like hobbling towards us, and he was green in color and looked like he had like he was wearing chains. He wasn't see-through. He looked like a man, just a green man on his knees. And we obviously ran out of the bedroom scared. And that's really all I remember. I don't remember telling my grandmother what happened or our parents or anything. I do know that we talked about it later on. We called him the RC guy. And years later, I was probably, 12, 13 years old at the time. I brought it up to my mom, and I was like, hey, do you remember, you know, and I told her the story of what happened, and she kind of laughed, and she was like, yeah, I remember you telling me about that, and she said, there's something I need to tell you. And I'm like, okay, great. So she tells me that there was the family that lived in my grandparents' house previously had a son who was about maybe 19, 20 years old, and he had gotten into drugs and in a bad way with bad people, I guess. Maybe he owed him money or something. Anyway, they took him from the house, from my grandparents' house, took him to a rock quarry a couple miles away, and chained him to cement blocks and pushed him down into the water. So I was validated, for one, my mom telling me this story years later, you know, it kind of definitely made me, I knew what I saw was real, but having her tell me this, just, it kind of blew my mind. But what I saw as a young child was this boy on his knees with chains around him, and he was green. I mean, if you think about it, if you've been in the water long enough, you're probably going to turn a shade of green. So, I just thought that was really cool. I never had any other experience like that, other than just being creeped out, being in their basement, which is where his room was whenever he lived there. And those feelings were before I ever knew the story that my mom told me. So, I just thought that I should share that with you guys, and I hope you find it as interesting as I did. Thanks. Keep up the good work. Bye.
That's one of those situations where once you get the confirmation and the story of the horrific incident that, allegedly occurred with that boy when he was alive, and the horrible people that did that to him, that your reaction is, oh, great! You know, it's, and you suddenly step back and go, oh, wait, maybe that's the wrong reaction to have. But in a selfish standpoint, it is the right reaction, because it's confirming your thoughts, your fears on what, you know, giving you some sort of explanation to your incidents. But at the same time, what a sad incident that you have to have confirmed, to verify that. Unfortunately, it couldn't have been something simple like, yes, he did love peanut butter, and that's why the peanut butter moves all the time. You know, it's like, no, he was drowned in the lake, and it was a horrible, horrible incident. Thanks for calling, and thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802, our number. If you like our show, of course, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. You sign up on our website at ghostpodcast.com to do just that and get all the bonus episodes of our show. And you keep us on the air. Without our EPPs, this thing does not exist. I know we do have advertisers on here every now and then. But still, speaking from the other side of the microphone here, and keeping this thing afloat, and the cost to host the audio and the bandwidth and everything else that goes along with the behind the scenes of doing this thing, by far the biggest support we have is the EPPs, and that really is what does it. It's not so much ads that people assume that all the time. It's like, oh, it's definitely ads, right? No. It certainly helps. That's certainly been a nice addition to help support this thing. But you guys, EPPs, you guys are what fuels this thing. So thank you for that support. And if you're not one yet, check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Sam in Seattle. I've been listening to your show for about 6 to 7 months. Love it. I am grateful to hear all the stories to happen to people just around the world. It's pretty amazing. So, I had something happen to me a couple of months ago that I've been wanting to write in and see you guys' opinion and others. So, a couple months ago, me and my partner were sitting on the couch. She's on one end, I'm on the other. We're kind of just chilling. And out of the corner of my eye, I see a red dot on her chest. And this is not like I visually see this dot. It's more of like there is a red dot. It's kind of like that third eye intuition. The red dot was like the size of a golf ball, and it freaked me out because I got this protective feeling, like I needed to protect her. This thing was not good. And so I put my arm around her, and as I did that, it went to the corner just like a couple feet away from her. And like, as I was like talking to her, and she can tell something is up, and asks me, "What is going on? You look scared." And so I told her, you know, I saw a red dot in your chest, and now it is in the corner. And at this moment, it was just, it was like the size of like a basketball almost at that point in the corner. And it just like, it was just like this. And I guess maybe it's an orb or something, like a red, angry orb, kind of, I don't know what it was, but it just freaked me out. And so like, I'm sitting here like with my arm around my partner trying to protect her from this, like, and this is the, and I'm, so I'm learning how to like, to use energy to, with touch, and I think it felt that and just kind of went to the corner. Anyways, after we watched our show, we went to bed. She was upset. She didn't want to get up, you know, because she knew it was out there. She's an empath. She can feel it. She knew something was up, and she can tell. She even told me that she could feel it. It was from next door, from our apartment. And so, and I can still see it. It's in that corner. So I got out the sage. I saged the whole living room. I saged my partner, making sure she's fine. And I put these selenite stones across the wall. And it was gone. It left. And it hasn't returned since. It just baffles me, like, since I've been learning about my own energy and other people's energy, that I was able to sense that. I'm really glad I could have. I don't know if it was energy, if it was an entity, or what it was. I would love to know your guys' opinion. Hear what other people have to say, if they've had anything like that before. Anyways, I'm really grateful for what you guys do, and hope to keep listening to you and keep learning all these new stories from people and people go through. Sometimes it's sad and sometimes it's refreshing. I have a couple of things that I could talk about, but I'll call in another time. Anyways, take care. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. The red dots. Immediately when I was hearing that, I was thinking of the laser pointer and the little dot that is produced by. Obviously, what has gone on here, it sounded more of a mixture between, you know, someone who's sensitive and there's something supernatural going on at the same time. I had a coworker once who, at my last radio station, actually, very much not, he'd be like the last person in the world that I would think to have been telling me a paranormal story, but he had a lot of them, and one of them was taking place in the basement of the radio station, working down there by himself, lights off, which is a very common thing at a radio station. DJs like the dark, kind of nocturnal people, and just working on a computer in a production room, and he suddenly sees this red dot, like a laser pointer dot, moving around the wall and throughout the room in a fairly, you know, random but seemingly intentional order. Not where maybe there's something in another room that's, you know, swaying back and forth and creating this, but just very, very strangely random but with intent. Stop, go, this over here, over there. And there was nothing around to have made that light, that laser light appear. He looked around. I know that basement. Everyone else knows that basement that's there. There's nothing there to do that. And there really wouldn't be a way for someone to, in the confines of where he was at, to be hiding and just like messing with him. But he said that was one of the strangest things that happened down there. And in a building that a lot of people said has ghosts. I never experienced anything in that building. I found it to be one of the least spooky places I think I've ever worked. I've worked in some other places that were much higher on that scale, but for some, that place really, really tipped their sensitivity scales, if you will. And I believe them. It just never happened to me, and I'm kind of jealous in a certain way. Anyway, thank you for the call and sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help us stay on the air. Help us do this thing by becoming an EPP. $5 a month is all it is. You get access to all of our bonus episodes at ghostpodcast.com. All 150 some of those are best ghost stories ever. You get a bunk bed bell if you sign up for a full year. Or you can do monthly. You don't get the bell, but it still supports the show. $5 a month to do that. Full year, you get 1 month free and a bunk bed bell. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com, and help us keep doing this thing called Real Ghost Stories Online. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.